This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Wow. All right, let's do a little stretch and yawn first thing on a Thursday morning. It's the last day of November.
Oh, man.
Much better. All right. Got into bed last night and I went to sleep like a ton of bricks. You know when you just hit the bed and you almost fall into a coma? And I woke up this morning and I felt refreshed. Fantastic. Got a lot done yesterday. I always like getting a lot done. Anyway, I hope you've had a good start to your day so far. If you've just woken up, hello and welcome to your Thursday morning. We're here to look after you. Make sure you have a nice day. And hopefully inject a little bit of info. Maybe make you laugh. I mean, I'm hoping for a lot there, but because some people don't want to laugh, you know?
Well, it's Thursday.
I know.
So we're going to make you laugh because Justice comes in and
That's
he talks
right.
about this country where there's this mythical politics that happens every week and you can't make up the stories he does.
Wow. I just, every conversation yesterday, we were joking in the news that, you know, now people just are Bitcoin obsessed and this discussion has gone far and wide. I mean, I know that there were a lot of us talking about it a year ago and maybe even further beyond that. And it's just like it's this, suddenly it's reached critical mass. Mm-hmm. And this is what I see happening with things. It happened with Facebook about, 9 years ago? Facebook's only about 9-10 years ago that it really hit maximum speed. Yeah. It happened with Twitter probably about 6 or 7 years ago properly, 2012, 13. Maybe even less, yeah. Instagram kind of got into its groove. And now this phenomenon of Bitcoin. And you've got to ask yourself, because I don't know that there is an expert when it comes to this. You know that a lot of people who have read a lot, there are a lot of people who've been trading a lot, so they've watched ups and downs. But those are the same people, because they're the same people who were regarded as being experts on the open market, the normal trading market, you know, currencies, commodities, stocks and shares, because they know how to trade, not because they understand Bitcoin. My question is, and if there's anyone smart enough, and I know our audience would be smart enough to have someone in it who could try to answer this, where does it all go? Where do we end up with this stuff, this cryptocurrency? Where do we get to, in terms of how this affects people's personal finance, how this affects governments, how it affects taxation, how it affects the flow of money across borders, all of that stuff that we've always had controlled by the state, what happens to that in a world of cryptocurrency? Because the banks, the central banks are so slow to catch on. They'll only start catching up in about a year's time. How does it work? How do you think it's going to end?
It all feels like sci-fi. It really does, because I don't know where the money goes. It's not like it goes to Bitcoin and there's like a company and a building you can see.
No, it's ethereal. It's yeah. Any ideas?
No, none whatsoever.
Because it's definitely reached a point now, and apparently the Big Bang Theory episode that we joked about yesterday is on today.
Okay.
Well, it's 9:30. It's 10 o'clock in America right now. So they should have seen it, which means that those prices have spiked, Ben?
I think only goes tonight. America tonight.
Have they gone up yet? Prices? Ben's always watching these
charts.
No,
they haven't. I think it's...
Mubs is such a big investor now, she gets notifications.
No, I'm not. And you
one
see,
of her people, one of her servants in one of her buildings will let her know.
No, and this is the funny thing is I think a lot of us kind of sort of know and understand how it works, but not really. Like, not entirely.
It's not a currency. Like, this is not a way to... You're not going to go and buy your vegetables with a piece of a Bitcoin. It's ridiculous. You're not going to do that. No one wants to do that. What you're going to do is treat this as a repository, as a store of value. So instead of, you know, we used to use gold.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at a note in your wallet, I don't know if it still says it, but it's in the terms and conditions of every piece of currency. I promised to pay the bearer of this note the value of blah, blah, blah.
Look at all the money
Ooh. Flying around.
Ben's got $100. Give me that $100, wow. Ben. Let me see if it's written on there.
Sia's got like close to 300 rand.
This one just says you must give that to politicians. That's what it says.
Okay, so it's signed by the governor of the Reserve Bank. It used to say, I promised to pay the bearer of this note X amount of money. And what that meant was that...
You really are old, huh?
They would give you... No, but this is in how money was created.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, the fact that you remember this on the actual note.
A currency note used to be what they call a promissory note.
Yeah.
And what a promissory note was, is it was someone who would vouch that if you wanted to trade that note for its value in gold or silver, they would give that to you in silver or gold. And of course it became untenable because ultimately the note didn't represent enough gold for you to actually get that exchange. And what's happened is there's a finite amount of gold in the world. And we've mined out most of it, according to the smart engineers.
Mm-hmm.
So now, instead of putting your value in gold, like how, if I took all the money I have and I traded it for gold, how many ingots of gold would I get?
Ingots.
Okay.
I didn't even know that was that.
Now, instead of that, you're going to go, and I'm not saying right now, but somewhere in the future, one of the ways that you'll still be able to do gold because there'll always be old school people who'll keep reserves of gold. For God knows what reason, gold doesn't really have a practical purpose on earth except for jewelry as a store of value and occasionally in electrical components.
And
that's
for
all.
Grills.
Jewelry. So, Bitcoin will become another repository of value. It'll become a place that people put their combined assets into a store that gives them a measure, a scale for how much they can get if they trade with that. It'll become your asset register, your bank balance. And maybe for a lot of people that's terrifying. But remember, this is not something that's controlled by some authority. So if the bank goes bluey, if the bank goes the way that those, you know, Lehman Brothers did during that financial crisis, the global financial crisis,
mm-hmm.
you could lose everything. This is not like that. Because there are machines all over the world checking and rechecking and counterbalancing transactions so that every transaction is in the shared ledger. And nobody owns that ledger. Nobody can destroy that evidence. Nobody can hide it away. In other words, whatever you do with your money is recorded somewhere, and it's not necessarily recorded by someone who has nefarious purposes because nobody has the total record. That's this whole blockchain thing, which is so difficult to understand, even for people who've read about it consistently for the last year and a half. I remember hearing about this, and I wish I'd bought more of this cryptocurrency a year ago, because I jokingly said yesterday on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook that if you'd started listening to cliffcentral.com 3 months ago when we started talking to Run,
mm-hmm.
and you'd bought, for every rand that you put into Bitcoin, you'd now have between 6 and 11 rand. That's a fact. And it's going to go up and down, and nobody can predict whether or not it's going to go up enormously or whether it's going to go down enormously. But the reality is that it's highly likely that even just as a means of doing foreign exchange, this is going to become the preferred way of doing it. Let's say you buy stuff from China and you need to pay them $1 million. Now, you can either do this through your bank, which is a complex, laborious process. It might take more than a day or two. You have to decide on what the exchange is. There's a negotiation involved. You know how it goes. I mean, this is not easy work to do. Or you can just phone up your supplier in China and say, I'll give you 0.75 Bitcoin or 1.75 Bitcoin or whatever it might be. And they'll say, fantastic. I mean, China is the biggest trader in Bitcoin. 60 to 70% of all the trading that goes on in Bitcoin takes place in China, which is why the busiest time in Bitcoin trading is between 12 and 2 in the morning, South African time.
60 to 70%. Yeah. of all and trading.
Most, and a lot of the mining too. So China. I wouldn't say most, but a lot of the mining. So isn't that interesting? 12 to 2 in the morning is the most important time in Bitcoin trading. Forget about the US, forget about Europe. Hmm. Now, if you can do all of that and you don't need government and the Reserve Bank say so to send money overseas, you don't. You shouldn't have to. Why should they have any say over what you do with your money?
They always take a bit, right? Don't they?
Absolutely.
They take a bit of the
one
Bitcoin.
Bit. Yeah.
No, government must always be
thoroughly compensated for being completely useless.
Yeah, exactly.
I just find all of this pretty fascinating. We're living in the most interesting time. Obviously, this stuff is only interesting at this point to one out of every 500 people. But, you know, again, that's why we're on the internet and there are still traditional radio stations and people who still listen to those traditional radio stations. That's fine. Not everybody's going to be at the leading edge of the wave.
Sure, but Gareth, you started off this conversation by referencing Facebook, how it got to critical mass, mentioning Instagram, how it got to critical mass.
That's what I'm
saying. The way I see it is that Bitcoin is exactly the same. It's like everyone, once everyone gets on board, you know it's going to be the future. So when people keep saying, oh, it's going to crash, it's going to crash, financial experts keep saying it because they want it to crash, then they can
go, represent the old.
You can come back to putting money into unit trusts or under some old man's bed or whatever. They don't want Bitcoin to ever succeed because they don't understand it. Therefore, they can't capitalize on it.
There we go. Anyway, I was talking to Vinny Lingham last night on Facebook because I was trying to figure out how to get that bit. Because he didn't give me a whole Bitcoin, but he gave me some bits last year. Remember?
Yeah.
And I remember, like, when he did it, it looked like the two of you were playing Tamagotchi because right. It just seemed so strange.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, try this. Anyway, I messaged him yesterday. And I said to him, I don't know how to get this fucking stuff. And I know it's worth a lot more than when you gave it to me. So he's like, yeah, it must be worth like thousands now. So I was like, God, I got to get this. Turned out it was on an old phone.
Oh, no.
So what I had to do is switch on the old phone. Hope to hell it was the right phone because, you know, you break phones and you upgrade phones. And anyway, it was there and it was in the wallet. And I figured out how to transfer it to my new wallet.
Yeah.
And managed to get it. I'm not going to retire.
You aren't about to get a yacht and sail.
No. But it was cool. It was like a, that's nice.
That's a good friend to have.
I know.
Do you remember Vinny's story that when he was first playing around with it, he had an actual Bitcoin on an old phone?
Yes, and then he lost it.
They lost the phone.
Mm. And do you know that when you lose that it's permanently recorded that it's lost. You can't just replace it. Mm. It's gone forever. So there is a gap in the Bitcoin market of, what is it, $10,000, $11,000 at the moment? That is all Vinny Lingham's fault. It's his fault. There's one piece missing of the
but
pie.
Can someone not mine that?
No, it's gone.
Oh.
Gone. Closed. That transaction is finished. That's why people put it on a hard, like a USB, a hard wallet. That's what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an actual, it's like a USB with your Bitcoins on it that you actually lock in a safe. That's the safest way to do it. You keep it on an exchange, things can go wrong.
This is crazy.
Anyway, he says to me last night, after we were talking about this, he goes, oh, I thought I'd given you more. So I said, doesn't matter, you can give me some Civic. Because, you know, that's a cryptocurrency too. That's his new business. So he's like, all right, get this wallet. So my God, I was trying to get this wallet. I was figuring this shit out. You have no idea. Anyway, some interesting conversations there. And I'm just amazed that there are people who are very far ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Like Vinny, who are just thinking about, you know, what 2050 will look like.
And then you still have the friends who gift you soap on a rope.
Yeah. They're those Neanderthals at the back of the queue. And there's room for all of us. Let's not knock it. You know?
We don't need soap on a rope anymore.
And then we've got idiots who run governments who can't even provide us with water.
Ah, there we go. Yes.
Jonathan Witt made such a great point on Twitter yesterday, and I don't like giving Jonathan Witt too much credit because he's so miserable some of the time that he said something so true. Listen to this. This is mind-bogglingly upsetting for people who still vouch that government will save them, who still think that there's a way we can rule ourselves by representing people or choosing people to represent us, rather. Listen to this. I thought he was on the money here.
Okay.
He says, more people have access to Coca-Cola than water. A private company runs Coca-Cola. Governments run water. 125 years ago, there was no Coca-Cola on the planet, whereas water has been around longer than humans. Spot the problem.
That's so smart.
Right? Isn't that right?
Jeez.
So how can we keep letting... It seems like with government, you get... They're the most expensive, most inefficient way to do anything. There are... In every way, there is a better formula than the one the government uses. They are the... Listen to this. The most inefficient and most expensive way to get anything not done. Think about that. What are we doing with these people?
To get anything not done.
To get anything not done.
Yes, but we're stuck with them. So what are you going to do
about it? No, we're not stuck with
them. We are stuck with them. Every election, a government is going to keep being voted in, and there is nothing you can do about that.
Oh, right. Mabale, this is your last day of talking about them, right?
This is your last day. Oh, Mab's happy days.
Yes.
Let me play that again, just for Mabale this morning, just because it's her last day of talking about government and the last day of talking about politicians. All right. Da, 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 da. Everybody, happy days are here again. Mabale says she won't talk about them. She refuses to indulge the politicians. Happy days are here again.
Yeah.
How long do you want to keep this on for? A whole
month? It's just for December.
Oh, okay.
Lucky for you, justice comes in today.
Well, yes.
The Burning Platform, later on, powered by Nando's, that will be on at 7-ish. Make sure you don't miss it. You get to hear everything that Justice Malala has to tell us about how this crazy country works and how the world works. Anybody know what's going on in Zim? I see they inaugurated old Emmerson Mnangagwa, but they had an inauguration just like they've had for all the you know, all these dictators in Africa that have these medals. And they have the army marching past. I mean, is that all necessary?
The pomp and...
Pomp and ceremony? I mean...
Do we give a shit about that stuff? Don't Zimbabweans, for whatever it was spent on that, even if it was 50,000 rand, don't do it. Get on with the business of government. We don't give a shit how many people come to your stupid little welcoming party. Get on with it. You've been part of the government anyway for how long? MoveOn.org.
Yeah, but the problem is pomp and ceremony is rooted in the so-called history and the culture. Yeah. And like then people don't want to let go of it because it's tradition. And I mean, it dates back eons of years.
So unnecessary.
Today it seems unnecessary, yeah.
Oh, this royal family.
Whoa.
Have you been reading all the stuff people are saying about Harry and Meghan?
Oh.
I see now somebody has gone and traced her family tree dating back 150 years.
Well, okay, there's a place called the College of Arms.
Oh, gosh.
You talk about history and tradition. So the College of Arms in London is a little building in Victoria Street. It's right on the, just off the Thames River.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the most interesting and arcane little places you'll ever get to visit. Hardly anybody even knows it exists. Inside, you have old manuscripts and books and parchments and vellum and writing materials we don't use anymore and beautifully painted achievements of arms. They call them achievements of arms.
Ooh.
Of every registered armiger in the world, certainly in England.
Okay.
And an armiger is someone who has a right to bear a coat of arms, which used to be the sign that someone was a gentleman, as opposed to just a peasant.
Oof.
So if you have a coat of arms, you're a gentleman.
Uh-huh.
And you are to be taken seriously by civilized society. This is how it used to be. And like, because what a coat of arms used to be is, if you were a knight and you would go to war, you would ride on horseback and you would wear your arms. You'd have them on your shield and you'd have them on your livery on your horse. And people would know it was you.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd know whether you were on the enemy's side or on the friend's side. So they didn't stab you to death and then go, oh shit, I didn't see you under your helmet.
That's convenient.
Oh, it's Cecil. Oh, Cecil. What have we done? Cecil was one of our friends. You see what I mean?
Yes.
Okay, so the College of Arms is also very interested because your coat of arms, your if you have a coat of arms, it usually represents your lineage, what who you descend from, who your ancestors were. So let's just take all the English crap out of it. It's very similar, in fact, to African traditional culture. You need to know, and I've been to a number of ceremonies, whether weddings or coming of age ceremonies or any of these, where young African men, particularly those who are descended from illustrious ancestors, mm-hmm. must recite their own genealogy, going back as far as they can. So this is the same thing, whether you're a member of a Xhosa tribe who has inherited a chieftainship down the line, or whether you're an armigerous person in England. Mm-hmm. People are obsessed with which ancestors you come from. Doesn't matter to them. And logically, it makes no sense because we all descend from the same apes eventually, right? But to some of these people, it's important which apes they come from. So, in the College of Arms, they have people called Kings of Arms and Pursuivants of Arms.
You
don't want to be hanging around a pursuivant.
And these people, under the leadership of the Earl Marshal, who happens to also be the Duke of Norfolk, the most important peer in England, they keep a record of all the noble families, all of their descendants, all their arms, and any changes that are made to those over the last 700 years. Mm-hmm. This place is probably the home of tradition. They're also the ones who run the coronation ceremony for the king or the queen when they're crowned. They're also the ones who issue arms to companies, to countries, to all those kinds of things. So it's a tremendously prestigious and old and musty and, you know, arcane is the best word to describe it. Institution.
So what do they dig up about the Markles?
So what they do is they'll go and look at Meghan Markle. They'll see who her parents were. They'll see if they have records in birth, marriage, and death certificates for her parents, then her parents' parents, then her parents' parents' parents, as far back as they can trace it. And what they will usually try to do is to make it seem more socially acceptable by proving that she's related in some way, shape, or form to someone illustrious in history. That's not hard to do. If you can find the birth and marriage and death records of your family, you can do this too. Anybody can.
Well, here's the headline for you, Sia. How in 150 years, Meghan Markle's family went from cotton slaves to royalty via freedom in the US Civil War, while her dad's ancestors included a maid at Windsor Castle.
That would have been a white maid.
So they are not here at all for trying to class her up.
Meghan Markle calls herself biracial, right? Because that's a word in America. Mm-hmm. We would probably say some kind of, and I know it's a pejorative term in America, but coloured in South Africa.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Sia would say swirly.
Yeah, yes. Swirly's good too. And I mean, ultimately, that's where we'll all end up. I know you guys spoke about this the other day. But isn't it interesting that this is what people are obsessed with in England at the moment, is like what her ancestry was?
Yes.
And you know why? Because they're going to produce a little sprog eventually.
Yep.
And this kid will be seventh in line to the throne, because there's Charles, William, William's three, well, the two that are there and the one on the way. Then Harry's six, so their kid will be seven.
Oh. This kid better not be called Emily or Sarah or George. I want like a proper name.
Quantaniqua.
Yeah, or like LeSean. I mean,
that'll mix it up.
LeSean. Or like Denver.
La Fonda.
Meghan girl, I know we are here and we are celebrating as the people, but please don't go down that road.
No, they must.
We don't need Princess Shadika.
No, they have to be. They've got to shake it up. I'm with Ben. Princess, they've got to get rid of the old stuffy white stuff.
Prince Kendrick.
Prince Kendrick. Sort of step into a Kendrick, a LaShonda, the Shikwa.
Look, let's not push
Quavagene.
So far.
Quavagene. No,
Queen Quavash.
All right. Anyway, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch
this. Do they even have a say in how their children get named? Don't those names get passed down?
I think the Queen's got a naming fortune cookie jar and she literally pulls it out and goes, "You shall have Beatrice."
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, jeepers, grandma, it's 2017. Shut up.
I think that sounds Beatrice. About right. That's what they do.
And if you don't agree, the corgis budge and that's just like that.
All right, let's get into the five things you need to know today. It's brought to you by Colcacchio's Pizzeria. That's right, Colcacchio Rewards. You can be downloaded on their app and you can start earning slices for every visit, every bonus slice for every rand that you spend. To unlock even more rewards, you can move from apprentice to maestro by visiting their stores more often. As a start, there's a surprise waiting to be unlocked for you. Simply download the app and register. Inside the app, you'll be able to monitor your status, earn slices, unlock rewards, find the menu, and check out what your closest store might be. More exciting features will be launched soon. Here's to enjoying a slice of the goodness, Colcacchio Pizzeria. They're the reason you...
crave
pizza. All right, first of all, Matt Lauer is a sex pest. Do you know who Matt Lauer is?
Yeah, sex pest.
Matt Lauer co-anchored the Today Show on NBC. Or is it on CBS? I can't remember. One of those American networks.
NBC.
Matt Lauer was the guy who was outraged by all these other men who were sex pests. You've got to be... Didn't we always say the people who are the most outraged about something and the people who are most... uptight about things and who have no sense of humor about certain things and who take things ultra, ultra seriously for no good reason. Like, let's say, for example, they're really homophobic. Usually it means deep down inside there's something going on. Right? Well, with Matt Lauer, it turns out he was a sex pest. He bought one girl he worked with a dildo and said they'd like to see her try it out.
Oh.
He had an office where he had a button under his desk that would lock his door. He didn't even have to get up from his desk. He could just press the button. Because what he'd do is invite these girls in, and then he'd, like the creep he was, lock the door. How's that, huh?
Sure.
See, this makes it hard to forgive. You know, we in the beginning, we'd sort of forgive if we heard some creep of a man would just grope, you know, just hold on to the bottom or say you look so beautiful. Now, when you have buttons that lock doors and you're, nasty.
It's nasty.
Just creeps.
Right? Nomvula Mokonyane says that they're not going to be able to write off municipality debt that Mabale told us about yesterday, where some of the municipalities in South Africa owe up to R1 billion in unpaid water bills. Got to ask yourself where that money went. If it isn't the people that haven't paid their bills, then who has that money? Because if the people were paying for their water and the municipality still owes the money, you can bet your bottom dollar that those municipal officials have been siphoning off not only water, but money, and a lot of it. In other news, the royal wedding will be televised, and it will be at St. George's Chapel in Windsor. For those people who are obsessed with this stuff, St. George's Chapel at Windsor Castle.
Sia takes the day off on those days.
No, yeah, all joking aside,
really?
Will and Kate got married, I was still in school, and I took the day off. My mom didn't go to work either, and we sat and we watched the wedding live. So May of 2018, I'll have to excuse myself if it clashes with the show. Excuse me, my brother?
It's ridiculous. Des van Rooyen left... in inverted commas, voluntarily after the EFF blocked him in Metsimaholo. Apparently, Des van Rooyen was at a voting station in the Free State on Wednesday morning, and he was politely asked by a bunch of EFF supporters to get the F out. Mm-hmm. Around 10 EFF supporters refused the minister entry into a polling station at a church and asked that he leave the area. He was visiting in his capacity as chairperson of the Interministerial Committee on Elections. They said, get out of here, weekend special. You are not welcome here. And they chased him the F out. Has North Korea achieved the nuclear weapons capability it thinks it needs to defend itself against the US? Well, the latest and most advanced intercontinental ballistic missile test was undeniably hostile. But people are saying, paradoxically, it could signal a chance for a new diplomatic opening. There are many reasons to be skeptical of North Korea. and pessimistic about the prospects of solving the crisis over its nuclear program, especially given the ruthlessness of Kim Jong-un, right?
Mm-hmm.
But President Trump's bombast doesn't help either, and deep mistrust between the two countries has developed. With regional tensions and the risk of miscalculations so high, the United States and others, including China, Russia, South Korea, and Japan, need to exhaust all avenues in the search for ways to limit the North Korean program. So maybe by testing this missile, North Korea has done what it needed to do to prove that it needs to be taken seriously, which means we can ratchet down all of this jargon around war. I don't think anything will happen because I think North Korea is assured of destruction either way, whether they start the war or whether they have to defend themselves against America. And Kim Jong-un may be many things, but I'm sure he does not look at annihilation in the face and go, I'll have some of that. That's what you need to know this morning. Here's Ben with the latest in the sport. It is brought to you by Jaguar Land Rover Menlyn. That's right. Let me tell you about them quickly. They say a sports car is the sign of... What is it, Ben? If a man buys a sports car, let's say especially if he's in his 40s.
Sometimes a midlife kind of crisis, you think?
Yes. But when the sports car is the Jaguar F-Type, there isn't a cliche in sight. People think you're James Bond. They never said James Bond's going through a midlife crisis, did they?
They didn't. No, Gareth, no. They didn't. Yeah,
he's always been perennially youthful. Even when Roger Moore played him and he was in his 60s. It's the sports car that's redefined the sports car with a spedder drive. A better drive, better looks, better performance. If you feel like you deserve better in life, just visit menlyn.jaguar.co.za. Or you can call them on 012, that's Pretoria, 369-2400. 012-369-2400, that's Pretoria, 369-2400. And arrange a test drive today. And you can pay for Jaguar with Bitcoin.
Really?
Yeah. They've just introduced that. Better yet, you can head on down to the new improved Menlyn Jaguar dealership. It's at 221 Gasfontein Road, just off the N1 highway in Menlyn. That's where you should go. Do it this weekend. Why not? Go and test drive one of these cars. Do it for you. How often in the year, especially if you're a father, mother, hardworking person, you don't get to do a lot of things that just give you a bit of a thrill. Test drive this car. And you know what? I hate to say it, but if you feel like splashing out and you've got a little extra cash lying around, maybe it's time you treat yourself too.
Why not?
I mean, if you've got some Bitcoin and you've been hanging on to it.
Yeah, maybe this is the time. Who knows? Go and check it out. It's all at the new Menlyn Jaguar dealership in Gasfontein Road in Pretoria. All right, here's Ben.
Interesting night of Premier League football last night. What so happened? The big teams, Arsenal, they put 5 past Huddersfield Town. Liverpool, they put 3 past Stoke City. And Everton, not a big team, but a big scoreline, 4-0 over West Ham United. So Everton are about to get that meat-faced pie, Sam Allardyce, into the mix there. Looks like they don't even need him just yet. 4-0 over West Ham, that is a big result. Chelsea, they had a bit more difficult time of it, though. Conte was acting a bit cunty, so he was let put into the stands. He was sent off by the ref, but Chelsea managed a 1-0 win in the end over Swansea. Bit of a fortunate goal, but they'll take it. And then Man City, the high-flying Man City, who just cannot be beaten. Well, it looked like they were going to drop points for the second time this season, but then the 96th minute, Raheem Sterling. Now this guy, people were pulling the piss how Liverpool sold him for so much money, and Man City were just being absolute dupes by just paying so much. But Sterling is coming good, he really is. 96-minute winner, Man City 2, Southampton 1. Big result there. And to show how much these guys care about being dominant this year, the celebrations that followed this goal were amazing. You would have thought they won the Champions League, not just beaten Southampton at home. But when you are flying so high like this, maintaining, I mean, to be number one in anything in the world, that's the easy part, as they say. It's the maintaining and staying on top, that's the hard part. And that's what City are facing right now. Everybody believes they're eventually going to fall, just like the Bitcoin price. But they're carrying on. And it's good heart. Heart. That's what the Springboks will hopefully have. Because Alistair Garcia always craps on about. That team will be announced today, 5 o'clock South African time. Alistair Garcia in what many believe is his last test match. Although I'm not going to really fan the flames of that speculation because, well, I mean, his tenure has been so disappointing up to this point. I don't think we're going to get an early Christmas present by thinking, sorry, we're going to have the balls to cut him and put someone more progressive in.
Not a chance. No. Not now.
But if you do want to get excited about rugby, well, there's two places to do it this weekend. So I think 2017, after 2016, it's just been one of those years where sport, we forget that sport is fun. It's entertainment. It's something we do as an addition to our lives, just to make us smile and cheer and drink
with
friends.
Yeah, it shouldn't make us as miserable as it seems to make some
people. So this weekend, if you're in the Durban area, varsity sports are going down. So just outside the whole Kings Park Stadium complex where the rugby takes place normally, there will be varsity sevens and varsity beach volleyball, Gareth. What two better sports to go and drink with your mates, get excited, and just bring in December?
I like
starts
that.
As of tomorrow, varsity sports. It's very, very exciting because, well, it's all the varsities playing sevens. We all know varsity cup's a big deal, the old 15-man game, but now with sevens,
right.
Marty's are defending champs, and the UWC, they've won the beach volleyball, I think, four times in a row now. So if you're in Durban and you're a little bit too old to go to Rage and your friends rip you off by trying to go to Rage, well, you now you've got varsity sports to look forward to. Much more legit way of having fun as an adult.
Speaking of Rage, Amanda, you're going to head down? You're going to stay at home and fish?
Well, I'm too old for Rage, I think. And I'm not fishing because I got my nails done.
So. Oh.
Nice. Oh. All right. Priorities.
What a conundrum.
I don't want like a fish nibbling on my jellish.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Also, right. You don't want to risk breaking those nails, so just don't do it. No.
Such an interesting like overlap, the areas of Amanda's interest. Puzzles can hurt your nails. Fishing can hurt your nails. And going to Matric Rage could. But somehow your nails have come through.
They have.
Let's have a look.
On a bigger sevens scale, nice. It is the Dubai Sevens this weekend. So the HSBC World Sevens Tour starts, and this is a fantastic event to get going. It was just 3 years ago, Gareth, that I was there at this event, and it was one of the greatest sporting events I've ever been to. Mostly because I had a round of golf before that, and I saw some old friends, and we were just getting hammered. It was amazing. So that is taking place from this morning. 7 o'clock will be the first match, USA versus Argentina. Now, the Blitzbox are the defending World Series champions. So at this event, they've done very well in the past. As of Fiji, it's kind of been the Blitzbox or Fiji who have been the title champions here.
Right.
So in the Blitzbox group today, we'll have South Africa versus Uganda. That's their first hurdle. Uganda, 8:52 South African time. Then the Blitzbox will take on Kenya, 12:36 SA time. And then the final match will be this evening for them. So 5:53, they'll be taking on the Might of Canada. So they got a pretty straightforward group, you would imagine. And, well, the Blitzbox, they've got so many stars. And some of the guys who went on to create, well, 15's careers as well, they're back in the mix too. Guys like Quacker Smith. I mean, his nose does a sidestep before he does. Difficult man to bring down. Good player, that Quacker. Other rugby news. Scotland, we all know they're an emerging force in the 15-man game. But unfortunately, flanker John Hardy will not be in the team for quite some time because he did cocaine.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now, if you've done cocaine before, you'll realize it doesn't make you a great rugby player. So how are they getting big bans from this? I think it's just trivial. Nothing else. The guy likes a party. Let's put it down to that. If his cocaine use makes him paranoid and a bit of a social dilemma to the team, then drop his ass. There's so many different things you can be doping for. Cocaine's it's a bit of a small one. Speaking of cocaine, 8 cyclists in the Tour of Colombia have been found guilty of doping. You cyclists, can they just not get it right? Stop doping. Just get on your bike and cycle. Stay out of the way of cars.
It is, with due respect, Ben, it is the Tour de Colombia.
I know.
Kind of goes without saying, doesn't it?
Tour of Colombia. Eight riders in the Tour of Colombia failed doping tests. Wow. You can't make this stuff up, I promise. Ben Stokes, he's in New Zealand right now, and he's officially signing a contract to play domestic cricket for Canterbury. But this is what I don't understand about the whole justice system. He punched a guy how long ago? It was ages ago, right? It was like back in September. 25th of September. He punched a guy in the face. He fell over, fractured eye socket, whatever, whatever. Big controversy. But he might not even be charged, or this whole thing might not be salvaged or resolved with like another month still to go. It could take weeks and weeks and weeks. So he is in New Zealand. What happens is that basically if they want to prosecute him or he'll have to come before a magistrate, he'll be served a letter, and only after receiving that letter, it could still probably take another month. So there is no end in sight here for this whole Ben Stokes fight scenario thing, which just makes it all the more trivial, really, because that's what guys do, as we said so many different times. They
no
go
one
out,
was killed.
Sometimes they punch each other. Let's all just move on. He's a sports star. The other person's just a drunk. let them both live their lives.
And if it was just two drunks and we didn't know who the two drunks were, we wouldn't give a shit about this story.
Precisely, Gareth. Everybody would have moved on. So, more tomorrow around the big football fixtures for the weekend. The Ashes second test starts. That will be Saturday morning, South African time. You'll wake up bright and early to see England will be five down already. But the big one starting today will be the Hero World Championships, because Tiger returns that. I've got to say, his swing's actually looking bloody good for a guy who's in his 40s, basically has a new back, and has put the wood to more call girls than basically anyone you've ever known. This guy has burnt the candle on every end you can, but he's still getting out there, and he still wants to be a golf player person.
So good for him.
He'll be teamed up with Justin Thomas, 12:05 Eastern Time, America. Dustin Johnson will be playing with Brooks Koepka. Kevin Kessel, Ricky Fowler, Matt Kuchar with Jordan Spieth. Earlier in the times, Justin Rose will be paired up with Tommy Fleetwood, Henrik Stenson with Alex Noren, Patrick Reed and Daniel Berger, and Hideki Matsuyama, who is the defending champion. He'll be playing with Francisco Molinari, Charlie Hoffman and Kevin Chappell, the other two guys. So it's an 18-man field. It's star-studded and four rounds, no cuts. It's amazing views of the Bahamas. This is the tournament to watch this weekend.
All right, thank you, Ben.
That's it for the sport.
Let's turn our attention to Sia. Thank you very much. Yeah, because we interrupted you with Amanda's terrific story about her gelish. Okay, in the meantime, let's get our attention focused on Sia Sangweni, who's got some reasons for us to feel a little bit better today.
Yes, I do. And folks, it's time to get happier. And especially if you're on your way to the office right now, you can steal just a little time just to get your mood lifted a bit. So here are five simple ways to make the most of your midday break today. Okay, so while you're at the office and you're having lunch, these are little things that you can simply do to get your mood lifted. Because as we know, more and more people are eating lunch at their desk. And not only is this not a pleasant experience, but it doesn't really give you a break, which you need to be productive and energized as you take on the rest of your day. Mm-hmm. So here are five simple tips to make the most of your midday break. So number one, just stop and actually eat. Don't just have lunch at your desk or in your car or over the sink. Just actually stop. Sit down and enjoy your food while you're not doing anything else. Some people actually say that your food will taste better because of this, mm-hmm. and research also suggests that you're less likely to overeat, and you'll feel more satisfied for the rest of the day.
All right.
Number two, how about you try to go outside for a walk? It's not a lot to ask for here. Even if you only have a few minutes, just get up and stretch your muscles and get some fresh air. Recent studies have shown that taking a walk during lunch, even a slow-paced one, helps improve how you feel for the rest of the day. It seems pretty obvious, doesn't it?
Sure.
Third simple way just to feel happier during your lunch time break is to chat with a friend, whether it's calling your boyfriend or girlfriend, texting a friend, or you chat to your favorite coworker. That would be me, and I'm available here, folks.
Ben, don't you want to chat to Sia during lunch today?
That's when you're meant to say yes.
I've got plans.
You do? Maybe we'll try.
Thursdays are really busy for me.
Okay, we'll try tomorrow then.
Oh, Sia, Fridays are really busy for me.
Monday, maybe?
All right, forget that.
I'll clear your schedule.
Start the week, Sia. Who's got time to
make lunch with you, Sia.
Thank you, Gareth. Just simply chat with a friend and make a point of reaching out for a personal connection. As you know, once you start doing this, you may be amazed to discover how little you actually used to break for frivolous interaction throughout the day, and how much better this actually makes you feel. The fourth way to simply feel better during lunchtime is to treat yourself. Now, we all have those busy days when we can only take a long enough break just to run errands or to go to the doctor to take the kids somewhere. And yes, that happens. But on these days, also just make sure you do a little something nice for yourself. So stop for your favorite beverage. Maybe you want to get some coffee or you listen to your favorite music in the car. It doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's just a treat for you.
Can I book my next jealous appointment in that?
Go ahead, but just know that the company can't pay for that. So, you know, if you just feel better about that, then that's great. And the fifth simple and easy way just to feel happier during your lunch break today is to take a pause for 1 minute breathing. You know I'm all about this all the time.
I have an app on my phone that reminds me to breathe.
It seems so sounds overrated,
stupid, right?
I know.
But actually, when you sit there and you go...
That's all I'm going to do in this minute. That's all I'll focus on.
It's good for you.
Yeah. I'm not stressing about something else. I'm not doing anything while I'm doing that.
All this shallow breathing.
Exactly. That's if you just have time for yoga meditation, that's great and all the better. But if you don't, just take a minute or two at midday to consciously just breathe and reground yourself almost. You don't need to do anything fancy. Just pause, close your eyes, and take a few really deep breaths. And you may actually be surprised to discover how great it feels. So there you go. This morning on Said by Sia, 5 simple ways to make the most of your lunch break today.
Yes.
There we go. Anybody need to know more?
In terms of?
Well, I mean, so there's a whole backlog of really, really cool stuff that Sia's been putting together.
Oh.
All you have to do is go and listen to the podcasts of previous shows. You'll find all of them.
There we go.
And by the way, while we're talking about that, you can also find all Ben's sport. We cut it out.
I highly recommend those. Yeah. Very, very good,
We separate them out from everything else so that you can just, if you're a big sports fan and you just want to hear Ben's analysis and Ben's comments and opinions and his thoughts as well as all the information that you need in sport, this is probably the best place to get it. He goes to a lot of trouble, Ben.
Yeah,
wakes up extra early to make sure that he gives you all the important stuff.
Exactly.
Right.
Talk about sport I don't even care about.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Like Formula One, you give a glance every now and then. Barely.
Hey, I spoke about the Tour of...
Begrudgingly.
I spoke about cycling this morning, the Tour of Colombia.
I know.
Just for you.
But you talked about it because there was a drug bust.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of cycling, unfortunately, Gareth.
And part of Colombia.
Oh.
All right, here's something you do need to know. We've moved our daily newsletter over to TouchBase Pro. Because they make the best newsletters and they know how to make them count. We're getting better open rates, better click rates, more people are reading our newsletter. TouchBase Pro's customer support is incredible and we love supporting a local company. We're getting more subscribers than ever before and the newsletter is easy to set up. Do it now. It takes us less time to do that newsletter than it takes you to read it. We're using automation tools to engage with you. It's that easy. If you've got a company or you want to start doing your own newsletter, get in touch with TouchBase Pro, all right? Look them up, TouchBase Pro. There we go. That's what you need to know this morning.
It's a packed hour.
I know. I'm exhausted already. We've just started. What do I have for you? Let's see. We've got Justice Malala coming up. Cindy Nell, right, Sia?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cindy Nell, of course, is on the show called Wedding Bashes. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen an episode.
It's something else, huh?
What is that? Disgruntled ex-girlfriends going to weddings?
it's these four people who go and they're invited to people's weddings and then they rate the weddings. Now, I don't know who in their right mind would invite strangers, even if they're famous strangers, to come to their wedding and then give it a rating.
Well, there's a prize at the end, you see.
Yeah, but there's no prize that makes it okay for people to say shit things about your wedding on TV.
But yeah, also, when you spend so much money on your wedding, you'd like to believe that it is.
You
want to
show it off, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, people love to be on television.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. Gives them their 15 minutes.
Forgot about that. That's a good point. All right, so we'll talk to Cindy about that later on. The Dubai Sevens for men kicks off tomorrow, not today, says Blitzbooker.
Sorry, I keep thinking it's Friday.
And then, morning team, I usually wake up late and catch the podcast, but today I'm listening live. By the way, Amanda, how's Extra? There we go, there's a question. Any word on Extra? Your mic's just gone dead. I think there's a connection problem there, because I could hear you clear your throat, and then I couldn't hear anything. Just tap the microphone at the connection. God, what piece of crap equipment is this? At the actual mic where it plugs in. Try that.
Yeah. Yeah, but now you're going to damage Amanda's nails by telling
us
to do all this.
There we go. Now I can hear you. Go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, talk to me. See, what a piece of piece of crap.
Extra's good. She's behaving.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Is she in South Africa?
No, she's back in Australia.
Uh-oh. But is she back on the pole or what's she doing? Oh. Back on the pole or back on the doll? It's one of the two for Extra, isn't it?
Well, I don't think she was ever on the pole, Ben. How dare you?
Yeah, she was never on the
pole.
She was
about to get on the pole.
Kid
I don't
with
know
it.
If she went through with it.
Making up this crap. Amanda tells me this stuff.
I love Amanda's dry demeanor and she's always got something interesting to say. I'm dying to know what she looks like. Can someone tweet a pic? All right, so we'll put a pic of Amanda up on our Instagram.
Well,
account.
Actually, I forgot to put the video up yesterday because I won the quiz and then Amanda presented me with my prize.
Oh, what was your prize?
It was a bottle of sparkling wine. Nice. So I'll put that video up and then you can see who Amanda is.
And then Ben gave the prize to someone else.
Oh, that's nice, Ben.
Ben, what the fuck?
Well, such wrong a nice with you.
Guy. Yeah, exactly.
In front of
Thank
you.
You.
He gave you... He
in
gave
front
your...
of me. Oh, happy belated birthday, Dory. Ooh. And he gave it to her.
Well, wow. Amanda, in all fairness, I was very appreciative for the prize. I'm not going to drink it, though.
Wow, you ungrateful.
Yeah. No, not Jeez. Ungrateful. What a
pig. Should have at least done it behind her
you
back.
You can't play the next quiz, Ben.
What a pig.
Why? Because I'm going to win it again.
No, you're not playing.
Amanda, something to be taken personally here. It's not a prize that I'll have any value out of. I like getting it. So, I don't know.
But
I thought
you
I was
give it away, like, out of... my sight, like give it to someone else, somewhere else.
What am I supposed to do? Just tell Dory to like leave the room? It'd be weird.
No, you say to her, hey, Dory, I got something for you. When you leave, I'll come down to the car.
Okay, I had a busy morning yesterday.
And then
okay?
Dory's like, oh, thank you. Here we go, Amanda. So it almost like went in the circle like this.
Okay, so ultimately, who wins here? You win. See, everyone wins.
So you got
shame,
so
Amanda. I know why you that doesn't feel good. I get it.
Wait, I'm confused. Did Dory give it back to you?
So you've got the bottle back.
Why did Dory give it back to you?
You take it home?
She should have given it to someone else. Clearly it was going around.
Oh, she wasn't even grateful for
all
the
right,
gift.
Okay.
This is
getting very complicated. Greg says, I can't wait for Wednesday. I think he means one day. When coloured kids with ginger hair at the castle run around the queen. Coloured's finally getting in there. With a coloured name like Ricardo.
Yeah, that's...
Greg is coloured, by the way, if you want to climb into him. Because I know there's someone out there saying, that's politically incorrect.
Donovan Goliath, the comedian, puts together pictures of Harry and Meghan Markle and then said those two equal the musician Jidenna. Now, if you just look at Jidenna, he has like this orangey hair and the brown skin. So it actually makes sense. That's how their baby would look.
Jidenna. One of our super fans, Carla Funavestes, just messaged me on WeChat. Well, he did this yesterday, actually. Said, morning, guys. It's happened. I'm moving to Gauteng from the Cape.
Oh, well done.
I bought a house this weekend, and my goal for December is to pack up our lives and get there early January in time for the birth of our second child. Must say, we're super excited about taking long showers. Even a bath every now and then.
That's I'm excited for you.
That's how civilized people should live, Carla. You shouldn't have to live like an animal in the Western Cape, being forced at gunpoint by government to go and collect water in a line. How disgusting. That's no way to live.
Oh, no.
Right?
Hala, Carla.
Hala, Carla. Oh, welcome to Gauteng. All right. Good for you.
Yesterday, I actually saw a post that Meghan Markle was a suitcase girl for Deal or No Deal.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, which is quite a...
That's a hell of a...
Look,
this is just rubbing it in for the Queen, isn't it?
Hey, we've all come a long way. We've all done things that we aren't really proud of. Or maybe I'm just speaking for myself.
Let's move on because we've got Justice Malala coming in just now for the Burning Platform. Stick around for that. Are you ready for December? Because it's tomorrow. You know that. December's tomorrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.